Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's not like $1 million. Like
gosh, this is the out of touch Olympics by the four of us.
Although, I guess a couple grand.
See, that's what
I was going to say, 1,000, but probably more.
More than that is what I'm thinking.
In the United States, it says it typically ranges, goes from the range of $375 to $2,850.
Yeah, okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
I wonder if you get a discount.
Can you get the $375 one rather than the $2,800? Yeah. What's the difference?
Yeah. That's done with an iPhone.
Well, one, you're naked.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Just to follow up on this, I spoke within the last 24 hours. I've spoken to 3 or 4 or 5 doctors who I know and have known for long periods of time. And the doctors are the first people to say they hate the insurance companies. Yes. It makes their life miserable.
Yeah.
It makes their life miserable. And you know, and one doctor said to me, I went to medical school and I'm being interviewed about something I've recommended by someone with a 10th grade education. And as I explain things to this person, I'm just simply met with no, that's not in our policy. Everybody hides behind their policy. Can I just explain to you how policy works? Guy sits in a room and says, oh, why don't we do it this way? That's policy from, am I right?
It's also policy until they change it.
Yeah.
I mean, it did not come down like the Ten Commandments.
This is what I want to say. That was my exact thought. That Moses wasn't given this policy. These people invent their own policies and hide behind that word. Well, that's our policy. What if your policy is to walk up to them and hit them in the throat? Oh, that's my policy.
I'm going to choke you out.
You know, they just invent this. They make it as hard as humanly possible. They want to discourage you. They want to bleed you dry. That's why they get in the insurance business. This is what doctors say to me. They hate them. Let me just read this from Barry Spiegel. Though I suspect you've got plenty of advice on this by now, I wanted to weigh in with some information on your recent MRI problem. As someone whose nearly 40-year working career was in health insurance, though not Cigna. Firstly, I'd suggest that the MRI denial may have resulted from the physician failing to send Cigna an appropriate diagnosis code. Use the code, people. MRIs are ubiquitous as a diagnostic test and should be covered for most medically necessary services. Also, despite you carrying your employment-related insurance coverage, I'd suggest that carrying Medicare as well could help you save the MRI problem. As I verified in the 2022 guide, Medicare and You, which is just a Google search away when you've lost me. MRIs are a covered service when performed by a Medicare-approved provider and are medically necessary. Even if you carry the Cigna coverage and they are denied the service for some reason, Medicare should cover the procedure as a secondary carrier in this case. I don't know if I assume I have Medicare. I mean, I'm old enough to have Medicare. Please note that if ESPN had fewer than 20 people in its insurance group, Medicare would have been the primary carrier in my example, and we wouldn't have heard about the MRI denial on the podcast at all. At the least, I think you should challenge the denial. Oh don't worry.
Come on, throwing the flag.
Don't worry.
Yes, yeah. Challenge flag.
Despite earnings that make paying for the procedure by yourself possible, your insurance should be able to meet its obligation for properly billed procedures on your behalf. I'd climb those golden stairs, as Johnny Sane was said to have suggested to Jim Boughton, to get what is due in this case. Good luck with addressing the leg woes. Such pain can be debilitating, even for otherwise healthy people. Hang in there and know that your many fans and perhaps even some detractors want you to be well enough to keep at your various media jobs. It's from Barry Spiegel in Peoria, Arizona. I thought Peoria was only in Illinois. But yeah, I am otherwise, I think, reasonably healthy. Last night, I don't know, 27,000 steps, you know, around the house and the upstairs, something like that.
So walking doesn't bother it.
No, which is...
No, it's the weird... That's...
My doctors have said I'm very fortunate that many people who have this are crippled to the point that walking is the worst thing. No.
Right.
Sitting and laying down are the worst things. Those are the worst things. Let me get to some other things here that are interesting. From Anthony Sarasoli. In Zurich, not around here.
Kids. Zurich, Arizona?
No, Zurich. I began listening to your show back in 2004 while I was in graduate school studying architecture. This was during your ESPN radio days, but being an early adopter of the podcast genre, I quickly switched over to listening via download in 2005 and have been doing so ever since. During the intervening years, podcasts have come and gone from my daily routine, but you have remained a constant. In 2009, I relocated to Zurich, Switzerland, and your show has provided me with a small connection to home ever since. Your discussion of the men's U.S. soccer team was right on point. The European teams just seem crisper and much more exacting in all aspects of the game, and I have a theory about this. On every playground and schoolyard here in Europe, where in the U.S. there would be a blacktop or basketball court, here you will see a miniature soccer field or court. Perhaps more importantly, on every one of these mini soccer fields, you will see kids playing pickup soccer. 4-on-4, 3-on-3, 2-on-2, or just a single child dribbling back and forth by himself. There are no coaches or parents to get in the way of the fun. And this, I believe, is where much of the finer points or intangibles of the game are developed at an early age. Until we see this across the United States, I'm afraid we will never compete at a global level. Well, we're not going to see that. We're not going to see that.
That's exactly what you said. Our best athletes
play basketball and football.
They just don't. Yes, now a few play soccer.
The smaller ones.
But it's just not, it's not the same draw. It just isn't. And until it is, we're not going to be able to, until it's
until the
main
never,
sport
well,
in this game, it's
be.
Not going to be.
That's, we have other things where we make much, a lot of money, and where the funnel effect of parents and friends and kids pushes you up, not to soccer. From Kyle Kettleson, bass baritone. I'd already intended to shamelessly solicit myself to the show in email form before the Honorable Larry Schlesinger beat me to it. I'm currently in the performance run of the world premiere of The Hours at the Metropolitan Hour. With me in the cast are fellow Littles Sean Panikkar and Denise Graves, as well as Kelly O'Hara of Broadway fame, Ask Michael, and quite possibly the most luminous star in our business, Renee Fleming. If interested, Littles and Biggs can't make it to the Big Apple to see the show. They can catch it live at one of hundreds of movie theaters worldwide Saturday, December 10th. That is this Saturday. That is tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for doing what you do. Please never retire. I don't know. Pat wow. Collins. Pat Collins just went out. Thank you, Kyle.
Pat and Collins?
People, what?
People should do. Don't you get a newspaper?
I did not see that. No.
It didn't address the real question. What's going to happen to the snow stick?
I was right. just
the snow
yeah.
stick
the
goes
stick.
On. A camera said,
no.
Camera took it in his two
he
big
does not
mowing
deserve the snow
hands.
Stick.
And camera
just
said,
not the same.
Camera said he would do it, the snow stick.
It's not the same.
Pat Collins retiring at the end, I think at the end of the year. That, you know, Dorian Gensler just retired.
Is he retiring or going into the transfer portal?
He may go into the transfer portal and see if he can get a job at 9. You know.
See if LA picks him up.
Pat Collins, what do you make of
wow.
that?
Wow.
Street the last
Collins,
of the street reporters.
70.
I mean, he's a caricature, but it's such a lovely caricature.
Yes.
We love him so much.
Yes.
He's elfin-like.
The delivery. You know, the slow walk into the camera.
It's amazing.
He's great.
The scars.
It's performance. Is he 76?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say 77.
76 okay. years old. Yes. No reason to retire. You know, he said he wanted to spend more time with his family, his children, his grandchildren. You know, when I retire, and I'm not going to retire. Someone's just going to say, get out. But I'm going to say...
The locks will be
changed.
When they
say, what do you want to do? I'm going to say, well, I don't want to spend any more time with my family. I just want to go to a country club every single day.
Play as much golf as possible.
That's all I want to do. If I could fix my leg, that's what I would do. So anyway, so people should do this tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to a theater. Watch opera.
Yes.
So, do you know who Kelly O'Hara is?
I don't. I have to look up the name.
Okay. So anyway, a couple of things we need to get to. And let me just say this on my own, and feel free to say I'm wrong. The Congressional Committee report. The Congressional mm-hmm. Committee has been disbanded because the person who ran the Congressional Committee lost. Not even in the real election, in a primary election.
Yep.
Carolyn Maloney, right?
Yep.
I have that
she
name correct.
She lost to Jerry Nadler in a
She's
primary.
She's out, yep. And the Republicans have the House, and they've said, we're shutting this bad boy down.
Yep.
And you could say, oh, they shouldn't shut it down. Well, there are a lot of people, myself included, who are not certain that Congress should be wasting its time with a private business like a football team. Okay? I mean, that would be my position. So the report came out, and people are going crazy. There's nothing in this report that we didn't know for months. They're going crazy in the Washington Post. And you go, you scratch your head because you go, the Washington Post reported all of this stuff for months. Now, oh, Snyder's got to go. Am I wrong? There's nothing new.
No, there's nothing new. The only thing that I
found it's interesting, juicy, but not surprising, is his 100 I cannot recalls.
Right. Which like is that, nonsense.
You
know,
which you, of course, expected, but 100 times to say I don't remember or I can't recall is a little much. But that it's not, I mean, again, that's interesting. It's not fundamentally different than
what
we knew.
And now people are writing like this is somehow revelatory. Stop it. In that paper.
Not revelatory, but you know, it's a reminder that the most interesting thing is the deliberate hiring of private investigators is straight out of a movie. But you look at this and it blurs sort of sports, the calendar of the sports team, along with real life, where you start to say this is just sort of part of the engine of the NFL. It's part of this is part of their bye week as you think about will this team be able to make the push to the playoffs. And you go, that's the real sort of sadness here is the idea of the playoffs and what that means is dwarfing this.
What is Kevin's thing? Five keys? Five keys to the congressional report.
Oh, good.
You know, because we can't say five keys to beating the Giants this week.
Up next, three keys to the offensive line.
Yeah, yards after the catch. Got to win into the trenches.
Xander Bogaerts, all-star player.
Yes.
Xander Bogaerts, shortstop, goes to the Padres, who now have four shortstops of consequence.
So instead of the shift, we're just going to load the center.
I just don't understand.
What I said on television, I said two things. I said they're collecting shortstops like ceramic eggs, and maybe they've been told that in the future, only shortstops can play the field. So they're loading up now. So they've got Fernando Tatis, who suffered that terrible case of ringworm.
Ringworm, yeah.
So bad.
How do you fix that?
That caused him to be suspended for 80 games.
The cream in the clear.
Moving him to the outfield. Manny Machado, who could be a Hall of Fame player.
Yep.
They
shortstop.
Moved
Great
him to
shortstop.
Third. Ha-Seong Kim, who took over when the ringworm set in, is being moved to second. So Bogaerts, who's not a great fielder.
He's not particularly great.
Can play shortstop. You know,
So they have a good second baseman, the Chenoweth, Jake.
He's gone.
I think it's Kristen.
Yeah, Kristen. Yeah,
Kristen Chenoweth. Yeah. He's gone.
Loved him in Wicked.
Yeah, he's gone. Like unless he can play short, and then they'll move him to left field because they've got all of these shortstops. And Wilbon goes on yesterday about how they're going for it. I love them. They're pointing at the team up north, the Dodgers. They're saying, we hate you. I don't know that they hate them or anything like that. And Wilbon conveniently leaves out the fact that the Phillies, they got Trey Turner, who's an actual shortstop, playing shortstop.
Did you see the press conference?
No.
Doesn't wear the hat because he doesn't want to mess up his new haircut.
Oh, is that right? Okay. So,
he looked great.
If you want to see a team that's going for it and got to the World Series, that would be the Phillies. They took 12 wins out of the Mets staff, right, in Taijuan Walker, and they signed a great shortstop.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And Bryce is coming off an incredible
And he'll
year.
Probably be able to play this year
and
in
his
the field.
Arm, right, he'll play the field.
Oh, yeah, he's got
Tommy John surgery. Is he gonna, when he miss a few months at the beginning of the season?
I don't know.
I mean, he can hit, but he can't throw. They got to fix that.
Yeah. No, well, then
you also
probably
with the addition of the extra playoff team, you set a bar that now the rest of baseball can rally around, which is go for it now because you can be a third place team in your division and make it to the World Series.
I'll just go to something else, another sport. The Los Angeles Rams.
Oh my God,
they stink. Okay, they stink. We'll talk to Jason about this. They won last night late, so they're 4-9. It's the worst record ever after winning a Super Bowl. Do you think anybody's unhappy about that? They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They brought in Matthew Stafford, and they brought in people, and they got rid of draft picks, and they're crippled for the next X amount of years. But they won the what?
It's like when the Nats won the World Series. Yeah. It's like we've now endured 3 years of last place, terrible, but I can still go to that time when my boys and I were able to walk around Washington at the parade. Like, you know, I mean.
So I've been seeing this on Instagram because you see all the comments where people are like, and to think, you know, in division, you now have Turner, Scherzer, all, you know, and Harper. And you go,
Schwarber.
But we still completed the World Series.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. Nobody else has won the World
Series. And the World Series that you were fighting for the you know, the good guys.
The World Series.
Yes.
Right.
The Braves have won the World Series. But Phillies and the Mets haven't won the World Series.
No.
Brittany Griner. So I don't know what there is to say about, you know, when I take the dog out for a walk, there's a house that has a sign on its front lawn that says, bring home the detainees. And there's a specific logo sort of bumper sticker for this. It makes me sad every time I see it because it's a worthwhile thing to say. We have no idea how many people are stuck in prisons all around the world for whatever crimes they may or may not have committed. I'm really happy Brittany Griner is back. I don't think, you know, I don't know the laws of other countries, but by our standards, 9 years in a penal colony seems an awful lot for what she was convicted of. And from day one, people talked about her being a political prisoner. From day one. So I figured she'd eventually get back. Victor Boot might be the worst guy on earth. I don't have any
idea. The Merchant of Death.
Now, yes. That's a nickname.
Yeah, the Merchant of Death.
Brutal.
Yeah. But I was sad that is his Paul, what's Paul's last name?
Paul Whelan. Yeah.
Whelan.
Yeah.
Sad about that, that he wasn't, you know, we couldn't make the two for one. We couldn't do that. We couldn't hold out that Victor Boot might be worth two or three people. But I'm happy she's back. I believe that the people who supported her, particularly in the WNBA, the NBA as well, but particularly the WNBA, were resolute and unwavering and loud. Day after day after day after day.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of people that the President of the United States has not gotten involved with to bring back necessarily. And he got involved with this pretty quickly and put the arm of the State Department out there pretty quickly, right?
And remember, he was criticized in the beginning for not paying enough attention to it. They sort of, they drew his attention to the matter in a way using their sort
to be applauded.
Absolutely.
To be applauded. Yeah. If you have the ability to influence other people, use it. And the WNBA used it all the time and got Brittany Griner back to the point where we can now talk about whether or not this will affect her basketball career. You wouldn't talk about that before when she was incarcerated, but now that she's free, you can actually entertain that question because she's free to play basketball again. I don't know that there's... When you're on the PTI show and it's an opinion show and it's a back and forth show, I don't know what the back and forth right. is. We're both happy. We're both happy. Everybody should be happy she's back.
I will just note that the right, represented by Donald Trump Jr. and his ilk, were very unhappy with it because they viewed Victor Boot as too valuable for what they described as an American-hating WNBA player. Now, I don't know where they arrived at that, but it does show you that no matter it, there are no more feel good stories, you know, like that. That was a strain on the right. Wasn't everybody, but it was a strain on the right.
I mean, I'm happy she's back. You know, happy she's back. The last 8 to 10 months of her life have been awful. I mean, just been awful. So glad that she's back.
And to think to your experience in the dog walk, you wonder about those stickers and the attention that this is going to bring to what has been a pretty, you know, under the table issue.
Yeah, political prisoners and detainees and that are just sort of snatched on the street, right? I mean, isn't that how it happens? Not every place is the United States of America.
Yeah. Well, you know? Some are shot down in a U-2 spy plane.
Right.
Francis Gary Powers.
That's a really good movie.
Well, The Bridge of Spies, right? With Tom Hanks.
A really good movie.
Yeah, that was terrific. And he got the 2-for-1. He got that deal.
Yeah.
Should have called him up.
Well, Tom Hanks should be president. I mean, really, who would not vote for Tom Hanks? You know,
I'm the captain now.
Yeah, Tom Hanks. We'll take a break. Jason LaCanfora, and we'll ask him about Baker Mayfield and what this means for Baker Mayfield's career. Yeah. I mean, got there an hour before the game. He got claimed an hour before the game.
Did you see him? Did you see him headbutt the guy? He had no helmet on. He had no helmet on. He headbutts the guy with the helmet.
That's his move.
Yeah. How does he know the plays?
Just go deep. I'll chuck it to you.
How does he know the plays?
Wow. Run down to that car and take a left.
This is we should ask Jason about this. But there is this notion about how sophisticated the NFL offense is. And this guy walked in off the street.
He had one practice, right? They signed him Tuesday. He practiced Wednesday. He started Thursday.
That's great. I mean, Wilbon hates him. Wilbon's going to have to concede that this was terrific.
Does he even know the names of the players? You, what's your 82?
How would he know?
Go deep.
All right. Jason LaCanfora, when we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a band called the Autumn Hollow Band. Rick Franzosa in Cincinnati, Ohio writes, the attached music is from my nephew Brendan Murphy and the Autumn Hollow Band. They hail from the greater Boston area. As I used to play guitar and sing Brendan to sleep when he was a toddler, I take full credit for his musical talent. This is a song called Rooting for the Laundry. I like the title of that, Rooting for the Laundry.
Yeah. This is talking
an NFL.
Yeah, you root for the team, not the players. Yeah. Specific, I guess. You just sort of like to the that. Team. Yeah.
And it plays in Jason Locke and Fora. And Jason, I'm just going to go on for a little while and vamp here. We had Steve Young on the show the other day, yesterday, and we talked about Baker Mayfield ending up with the Rams and asked him about if you now are playing for Sean McVay, what that means. And Steve Young, who is a Hall of Fame quarterback, said, when you finally get a chance to play for somebody who really knows what he's doing, like Sean McVay, if you don't reach the zenith of your talents, it's your fault. It's not his fault. And that is the backdrop with which I ask you, what did we learn about Baker Mayfield and maybe Sean McVay last night? And how can you be there for one practice and know the plays if this is the most sophisticated offense? How does this happen?
Well, I don't know if we learn more about them or we learn more about the other sideline where okay. – You know, that's a team that had everything to play for. That's a team that the first drives comes out and scores. But that's a team that's also, you know, punting on fourth and 1.5 from plus territory. That's a team that's showing zero aggression. That's a team, I know they're missing a few players, but it's a defense that the last 4 weeks is fourth worst in the NFL in yards per passing attempt. And I know the quarterback made a horrible play at the end of the first half. But it doesn't mean that, you know, in this modern era that you think you can just squat on a football for 30 minutes. And I don't know if somebody whispered in McDaniel's ear, hey, once you get to 16, bud, we're good. But I just thought it was, like, in real time, I'm watching this saying, like, they seriously think they have this game won? And, hey, it's a short week. The running back's beat up. Do you really, are you going to run them 40 times? Like, what? Who's in charge? What is this? And then defensively, they're playing, I mean, they're in a pre-med situation. They're playing press man. I'm like, you can't, like, and there was help from the officials. I mean, I mean, Max Crosby, I don't know when he wasn't being held. But, you know, if they're going to be selective about calling that, then you better tighten things up on the back end. And you better show at least some degree of aggression or want or, you know, killer instinct offensively, and you could just see it coming. I mean, they had so many opportunities, the Raiders did, to distance themselves. And honestly, the penalty on the punter, like, I kind of felt like the Rams were like, all right, we're just going to lick our wounds. You know, Baker looks pretty interesting. Let's just get out of here and have a long week with this quarterback before the next game to figure some stuff out. And the Raiders are just intent on doing the kind of things that they've done all season long. I mean, that was their season.
Yeah.
That was everything.
They had won three in a row. Yeah.
And they completely melted down on both sides of the ball from the top down. It's kind of shameful.
All right, and I appreciate all of that, but I'll go back to the question about Baker Mayfield and Sean McVay and what your thoughts were at watching. You know, we're always told how sophisticated these offenses are. And he's there. He got off a turnip truck, right? And then all of a sudden he's playing and they win.
Well, he certainly looked like he had more belief, that they had more belief in him, and he had more belief in himself and the whatever cast was around him than the Raiders did in their assembled football team.
Right.
I mean, he was pushing the ball downfield more than Carr. Now, you could say it's out of desperation, but, you know, they still made it work. I don't know. It's such a small sample size. You know, it's like it's certainly an anomaly. It's certainly crazy. Everything we've been taught about how difficult it is to do what a head coach does and what a coordinator does and what a quarterback does on game day, and I do have tremendous respect for it. And then something like this happens, and you're like, well, do they really need to be spending 18 hours a day in the facility figuring out this or that? I'm not, like, all of a sudden convinced that Baker Mayfield's career arc is going in a different direction. Like,
right.
I still think he's a very capable backup who's going to have a very limited market unless this thing totally takes off. And I don't know, man. You know, they still have offensive line issues. You know, like, they're leaning on Cam Akers now. And a lot of their injured guys are injured for good. They're not coming back. And they obviously have a substantial commitment to Matt Stafford. But could he learn some things and take some things from McVay? You know, could this be the perfect spot for his career to resettle and rebound, at least to some degree? Sure.
It's interesting to me. I mean, I sort of like Baker Mayfield. I know Wilbon hates him, but I sort of like him, and I like that style of quarterback, you know, running around. It's not dissimilar to Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah.
It's a sort of same thing. It doesn't mean you're really, really good, but it doesn't mean you're really, really bad either. Mayfield strikes me, and I don't know that this happened in Cleveland or will happen anywhere else, but he strikes me with that style, because I see this with Heinicke, as someone that the rest of the team would like. Now, they're not going to like him more than Matthew Stafford, who got him to the Super Bowl. But Stafford, they're going to be cautious with Stafford, right? I mean, it's possible Mayfield will get another two or three games, right?
Oh, no, Matt Stafford's done for this year.
Okay,
so,
all right.
He's got to get a run. I mean, clearly, yeah. Walford, they don't trust him. And that injury was obviously fairly significant to the point where they yanked him as quickly as they did in game. So, no, he's going to get a little, like, this could be the perfect thing for him. But, again, like, even in this soft quarterback market, does that mean that anybody early in free agency, you know what I mean, who's their plan A is Baker Mayfield as our starter?
Right.
No, I don't think that's going to be the case.
I agree.
I think that ship has probably sailed. You know, but look, could there be at some point, I don't think it's right away next year, at some point could he have a Ryan Tannehill moment and he does get somewhere where the other quarterback just can't play?
Yeah.
And he takes full hold of it? Maybe, but you could also say that should have been Carolina, you know? And the bottom line is, at the end of the day, we're better off with Walker. And that's a coach who's trying to keep his job there.
Right.
We're better off with Walker and Darnold, and let's see if somebody takes his salary off our hands. And and Tony, here's the only thing. Only one team claimed him.
That's right.
You know, with limited money left on that thing, and so many teams still in the playoff hunt, it's not like five teams claimed him and the Rams had the first order. You know, they were first in line. Nobody else claimed him.
What is interesting to me, and I mean, I won't go on and on about Baker Mayfield. We did a birthday the other day about Jim Plunkett. Jim Plunkett was the number one overall draft pick, as was Baker Mayfield. Total failure for the first 8 years of his career. Released by traded and then released by the 49ers. Signs as a backup in Oakland.
Yep.
Backs up for 2 years. And in the next 6 years, wins two Super Bowls. I'm not saying he's great.
Right.
But the conditions were perfect for him. Now, he's physically bigger and has a bigger arm than Mayfield and all of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting to me that maybe at the back end of someone's career, something works. Well, Geno Smith, he stunk. And now he's really good.
Yeah. 10 years in. Yeah.
Right. He stunk. Like, nobody wanted him. On the topic of complexities and quarterback whispering with Sean McVay. And
sure.
You'd understand why Steve Young would say that, because he worked for his grandfather, who was the GM of the 49ers. Well, let's look at Kyle Shanahan, and Steve Young worked for his father, who was the offensive coordinator at one point. Let's look at Kyle Shanahan. Do we, do we take the position that if anybody can make this work, it's going to be him?
Well, I think we need to be a little careful about, you know, the mythology going on here.
Okay.
You know, like, he also fought Nick Mullins, like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, he'd have told you, I got a rock star here, Nick Mullins, and I'm going to eventually flip him for a whole bunch because I'm going to turn him into a starter, you know? And C.J. Beathard, and you could put a pretty long list together of guys who he kind of thought, you know, I could turn him into something, and it hasn't worked. The only guy as a head coach who he's won football games with is Jimmy Garoppolo, who That's unfortunately right. gets hurt a lot.
All the time.
So I don't know, man. Like, don't be smart about it. Don't be sensible about it. But it's a different show, a totally different week for Brock Purdy, who last week was a completely unknown person running their scout team, you know, who nobody thought was going to see the football field, to now being in charge, you know, 7 days a week of what people think is a Super Bowl roster and a team in, you know, sort of in Super Bowl or bust mode. It's, you know what I mean? It's the rush of adrenaline being tapped on the head and say, go out there, right in the moment, is very different than a whole week of prep with all the starting reps. And there's obviously a lot of good that comes from that. He came in cold last week, but I think it's a different level of attention now,
right.
Different level of responsibilities, and you know, the whole league now is looking to pick you apart and go back to your college film, and they're spending, you know, all their time figuring out how can we undermine this kid. So I just think that's going to be an ugly football game, Tone. I you know, 37.5 isn't nearly enough to keep me off that under. I don't know that either team gets above 17 points in that football game with how broken the Bucs are and yeah. with how careful I think San Francisco is going to have to be with this kid until he really gets his legs under him. Really impressive what he did last week, too, you know? And there's sort of, I guess, some Baker Mayfield undertones to that. But, you know, the challenge is going to get greater each week, and the expectations get greater. And, it, you know, I just because Kyle drafted him, you know, late doesn't mean he can play in the league, because there's a lot of guys who he's, you know, fallen in love with, at least to some degree, who turned out not even to be number two quarterbacks. You know what I mean? They're number threes. Yeah.
All right, let me move on. What is happening with Odell Beckham Jr.?
I mean, he's not ready to play football. He's done a tremendous job of becoming one of the sort of major subplots to this season. And he's been through a lot, and I applaud him for his recovery. And I understand why teams are interested. But, you know, I don't know how much immediacy you get from him, you know, even when he's able to play football, which clearly is not a week or two away. There's more going on than that. I think you have to look at him as someone who you're hoping he's a cherry on top in the playoffs. I don't know he's going to do a whole lot for your playoff drive, but can he make a play or two in the postseason that help you win a football game? I mean, that's really what it comes down to from a team side. And from his side, you know, is there someone who's willing to give him a significantly better contract than somewhere else? Is there somewhere that he feels, you know, might fit him this year and beyond? You know, those are sort of the variables, but I don't know, man. I think, again, if you're thinking you're signing him and immediately there's this shot in the arm, no, man, he's clearly still recovering, and once he gets back out there, you know, you don't really know how sound and structurally sound everything is, and you don't know how much he trusts everything until people are trying to hit him again. So there's certainly some risk there. I'll be fascinated to see what the numbers are, how much money is guaranteed for this year, how much is tied to per game, you know, playing time bonuses, how much is tied to the team's success in the postseason in terms of incentives. I suspect there'll be a multitude of layers for his sort of incentives and bonuses.
Yeah, but he sure gets good seats at basketball games as he makes this tour.
I think he's enjoying this process, and good for him. I mean, you know, again,
he's being recruited.
A lot of bad injury luck. The way that thing went down last season was terrible. And it's definitely good to be wanted, and I'm not saying this isn't a guy who doesn't have meaningful football still ahead of him. I just think the time frame of that might be a little more protracted than some might think.
Okay. Plug your radio show for us.
You can listen to me yammer and ramble from 2 to 6 Eastern Time every weekday on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. You can listen anywhere on the Odyssey app or stream us at www.1057thefan. And you can read me a couple times
Washington
a week
Post.
In season in the Washington Post. And listen to me yammer about sports wagering on Sportsline CBS Sports HQ.
It's a lot of things.
The more you can do, Toad.
Yeah, no, you gotta absolutely. You have to do that, and you have to, you know, dance on the head of a pin. That's what people do. Thank you, Jason. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you guys next week. Thank you,
Jason Lockenfora, he's the best. If you listen to that first answer when he eviscerated the Las Vegas Raiders,
yes.
You know, most guys who write for a living can't do that. He knows this. He knows this game. He's really good. We'll take a break. James Carville is apparently going to be with us.
Yes.
And not just send in things written on the back of a sandwich. he'll be with us. And Jeff Ma will be with us when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, this is the Autumn Hollow Band. This is called Love Letters and Ransom Notes. Their music is available on Spotify. That 2013 album, Love Letters and Ransom Notes, is available on iTunes. This is called The Dolphin. Michael, if people like the Autumn Hollow Band want to send us their original music and get it played here, because we're happy to, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
James Carville, who every week now uses a laundry pen and fills something out on a wax paper bag and sends it to us, is now with us live. In the last 2 weeks, Carville's had a triple play, which came in, and a five play, lock of the century, which was Kansas State, I believe, something like that.
Yes.
And that came in. Carville's record last week was 6-3. He's 40-26-2. If he's betting his own money on his own picks, he can buy a huge house in New Orleans. Huge house. You're doing very, very well. What do you got for us?
All right, let's go. Let's get started here. Army, I was born at Fort Benning. Navy, I was in the Marine Corps. Navy's -2.5. Anchors away.
Navy, -2.5. Taking Navy.
Right. Browns travel to Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow is -6. Take Joe Burrow.
You shied away from him a couple of weeks ago. I remember that specifically.
He's going to be MVP before this is over.
Oh, yeah, he's really good. -6? Is that 6 on that game? You're going to take Burrow, Cincinnati? Go ahead.
I'm going to take Burrow.
Go ahead. You didn't take Tulane last week. What happened? You didn't take Tulane.
You know, I should have. I should have, would have, could have. I tell you right now, I'm going to take LSU in the Citrus Bowl.
Okay.
I don't pick them very much.
Right.
They're going to blow them out.
Okay.
But anyway, that's down the road.
That's down the road. Right. And you can't spell citrus without UT, as Spurrier used to say all the time. Take a shot at Tennessee. What else?
Actually, by the way, the Cincinnati line is 5.5 now.
Oh, you know, you saved a half point.
Yeah. 5.5. Okay, yeah. I'll take it.
Okay.
5.5, I'll take it. Jags-Titans.
Yeah.
Titans -4.
Okay, who you got?
Titans.
You're going to take the Titans. They've been cold lately. They're on a cooler. They've lost two in a row. They haven't been good. You're taking them.
Yeah, but the last game, they were not close. Eagles, Jinx.
Oh, we've got Tennessee at -3.5. Would you rather have that?
Sure, you
I'd
would.
Rather have that.
Okay. Sure, you would. You'd rather have it at -1. If you could get it. Eagles,
what
Giants.
What do you got the Eagles, Giants at?
That's still at 7.
That's 7? All right, I'm going to Jinx.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That's a trap.
Okay.
Bucks, 49ers.
I've got 3.5. Yeah. Tampa getting 3.5.
Take the 3.5.
Even after last week, even after three quarters of seeing an absolutely inept team.
A horrible New Orleans team.
Okay. Yes.
Can we emphasize 3.5 is a lot of points in the NFL. All right. And by the way, I was very happy to see you and Mike yesterday discussing how good the freaking Pelicans are, because I'm going to both games this weekend.
Yeah. If you can keep the big fella out there, he's averaging 24 and shooting 60%. But, James, every single year you've had him. Every single year he's in a boot. You know, he's not there at some point.
The other guy you got to watch is Jose Alvarez. He's the favorite of everybody down here.
Okay.
They just watch him when they play.
All right.
So we got that. The Dolphins, Chargers.
I got Chargers getting 3 at my...
Okay.
At home.
I like the Chargers. The Dolphins stayed on the West Coast. They played another West Coast game last year.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yeah.
And I know they didn't come back to Miami, but living in a hotel room is not living in your house.
You like the Chargers, even though they've been a really disappointing team this year.
They're a really disappointing team. I agree. They're the Los Angeles Angels of the NFL.
Yes.
You always think they're going to be good.
Yeah.
They never are.
No good. Okay, what else? One more?
Ravens-Steelers.
Let's see. Ravens-Steelers. Ravens getting 2 at Pittsburgh.
Getting 2. I saw it. Us getting 2.
Yeah.
All right. Once upon a midnight dreary, while upon a wicked weary old man, quite God and Lord, suddenly came a-tapping at my chamber door.
You're going to take Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah, that's what you're going to do.
And our blue plate three-time play.
A three-time play.
Right now, it's the Vikings Lions. What do you see?
Detroit now giving 2. That's down from 2.5.
Giving 2. This is the trap game of all trap games. Take the Lions.
Take the Lions. Play. Take the Lions, even though they're begging you to take the Vikings in this.
Absolutely.
They're 10-2, and they're a road dog. Really.
The man, ACL-sports.com, gave me this team.
Okay.
Three times play.
All right. We wish you all the luck in the world. You've been killing it lately. Mm-hmm. 40-26. Killing it. Thank you, James.
All right, man.
James Carville, boys and girls. One of the few appearances where he didn't curse. But he's going crazy. That's 8, 1, 2,
That's
3,
a lot
4,
of picks.
5, 6, 7, 8. That's 8 games.
It's a confident Carville.
God. And a three-time play.
A three-time play. That's a total of 11 plays.
I mean, that's big.
I wouldn't.
I'm waiting for his lock of the week.
Would you take the Giants +7? Take the Giants.
Because he thinks it's a trap game.
Okay, he thinks everything's a trap.
Yes, he does.
He thinks he wants the Chargers.
Vikings.
He wants Baltimore +2 at Pittsburgh. Baltimore has no quarterback. They have some guy, Hundley.
Yeah.
You don't even know who he is.
Tyler Hundley.
You know, Vikings, Lions. I don't know. Chuck Todd took the Lions, too.
He Carville, took them as what well. Did you say, Carville? 40-26?
40-26-2.
I mean, gotta trust him. Gotta ride that.
Well, the monkey is 25-13.
Sort of.
Is Jeff with
us? Is it the year of the simian?
It must make Jeff so angry. Jeff does bet the process. Jeff is professional in every level. Jeff is losing to a monkey and to a maniac from Louisiana with a 5-play and a 3-play all the time. It's completely nuts, right? I mean, how do you feel about that? You lost the college games last week. You strayed from the pros.
Yeah, I stopped betting the college.
Yes,
people are telling me on Twitter.
Yeah, is that right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
There's a whole world out there, Tony, that you could experience if you really just got on Twitter. It'd be amazing for you.
He's made for Twitter, Jeff. I've told him that any number of times.
I would lose my job in less than 1 minute.
Me a day.
less than 1 minute.
How
by
dare
responding
you?
Responding to these people. I just, it would be deadly for me. What do you got for us?
We're going to do six NFL games this week. We're going to do the Bills minus, what do you guys have, 9.5 or 10?
Bills, hold on. 10. Bills giving 10.
All right, we're going to take Bills minus the 10 over the Jets. Jets team obviously has played much better. This is a big, you know, revenge spot for the Bills. Mike White played really well, but
twice.
You know, yeah. You kind of are what you are, and I would say there's a reason he wasn't a high draft pick and whatnot. I think the Bills will win this game going away.
The Bills have won 3 straight games on the road. They played on the road 3 times because they got snowed out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, in Detroit.
I think getting back home, and they haven't pounded anybody, I sort of think if they're going to have a big game, I agree with you, Jeff. If they're going to have a big game, this would be it, I would think. Yeah, I would. What else?
I'm going to take the Ravens plus the 2 over Pittsburgh. Obviously, missing Lamar is a big deal. Pittsburgh has played well. They beat me last week, and they're sort of a team that everyone is now, you know, maybe they're not as bad as we thought they were, but I don't think the downgrade to Huntley is quite as big as people think it is, and Ravens plus the 2 here. You give Huntley a full week to prepare. It's much different than forcing one of these backups right in without a week to prepare, so I like the Ravens as an underdog here.
Okay. What else?
I'm going to take the Jaguars plus the 4 over the Titans. Again, Jaguars, a team people thought was better. They put a stinker up last week here against the Titans, who are a team that, you know, have definitely over, they've been better than people thought they were throughout the year. Vrabel is clearly a coach that can get the most out of his talent. I think getting 4 with the Ravens, who play very close games, typically this is a game that they can keep close.
This is an interesting game to me in this regard. You often see coaches fired. You rarely see general managers fired in the middle of the week. And Tennessee fired its general manager in the middle of the week. I think that's unsettling to players. I think players look at each other and they go, well, what's going on here? Am I safe here? I don't know how that works, though, Jeff. You know what I mean? That when players are unsettled, does it make them better or does it make them worse? But you rarely see GMs fired like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, certainly not in a situation where the team is having a pretty good season.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Something's going on there for sure.
Yeah, playoff team. Yeah, okay. What else?
I'm going to take the biggest number on the board, the Texans plus the 17.5 against Dallas.
Oof, golly.
Too many points for an NFL game, you know, and this is one of the ones you're going to hate, right?
The only reason my pushback would be Dallas last week just scored at will in the fourth quarter, didn't lay down on the ball at all and got to 50 points, and maybe they would do that again in some sort of intrastate rivalry. I don't know. But, I mean, Houston went back to its original quarterback. I don't know. I don't know.
Interstate rivalry, you're kind of stretching there.
I know, but, you know, it just popped into my head. I should say something like that. It was sort of dumb. Now, what else?
I'm going to take Miami minus the 3 over the Chargers. Last week, obviously San Francisco, super impressive. You made the point that Miami had won every game that Tua started and finished. That was the first one that they hadn't. I just think that Miami is a much better team, and in the game against San Francisco, you turn the ball over, you have one of those stinkers, and now you bounce back. I mean, again, like we talk about something called the availability heuristic, which is that as human beings, we place way too much probability on something we've seen or recently saw. And in the Dallas case, you can recently saw Dallas blowing a team out. In the Miami case, you see them losing. So we're placing too much probability on that. Miami's still one of the elite teams in the league, and they're the best team offensively in the league, and I think they win this game by more than a field goal.
I agree with that. I think the Chargers are a team that is – so, I mean, you watch them over the course of this full year. They're not as good as we thought they were going to be. That's 3 teams in that division are not as good as we thought they were going to be. But in the case of the Chargers, I think Justin Herbert got hurt in the first or second game, and I know he threw a couple of lovely passes in the last game, but I don't think he's as confident in his physical abilities as he was last year.
Yeah, I just, again, like, for whatever reason, if he's not 100% healthy, and he's kind of had his weapons go in and out all year.
Yeah.
And Staley's kind of like, it's funny because Staley was the guy last year that all the Illinois guys loved because of his aggressiveness on fourth down. And he's lost a lot of that. And I know he's a guy that you and Wilbon don't think is worth having a job.
Well, Wilbon hates him. I mean, I sort of find him interesting because I think he has the full support of his players. But Wilbon hates him and has decided that he should no longer coach even another minute. Wilbon hates him, totally hates him. Even though if the Bears coach did that and won, Wilbon would love him.
Then it's brilliant.
Would love him, yes. All right, what else?
And then I'm going to take the Niners -3.5 over the Bucks. I mean, they may have Mr. Irrelevant quarterbacking them, but you know, it's interesting because as someone, again, I'm holding futures on the 49ers to win the West, to win the NFC and win the Super Bowl. There's a certain unknown about Purdy that's kind of exciting just from, I kind of know their ceiling with Garoppolo and their floor. It's a high floor and maybe a relatively low ceiling, but with Purdy, it's probably a low floor and maybe a higher ceiling, hopefully. So I like them -3.5. I think their defense is going to shut down the Bucks. And offensively, they're going to score enough to win this game pretty easily.
I have to say this. Tampa Bay last week, the first three quarters, I mean, Tom Brady, you know, that's what happens when you have a great racehorse and they can smell the finish line and they get there. But they were terrible, Tampa Bay, for three quarters against a dreadful team. New Orleans stinks. So I agree with you on this. I think the 49ers could beat them with anybody. They're no good, right? They're no good.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're very good. I mean, Brady has saved them a couple times this year.
Yes.
And it seems like he probably does it when they go into the pre-bend. And I just don't see guys like Bosa and, you know, Fred Warner allowing him to have that same amount of comfort. And I don't think the 49ers will actually take their foot off the gas.
I agree. I agree with that completely. All right, who's on Bet the Process this week? Who have you talked to?
Let's see, who did we have on this week? We had Brett McMurphy, former ESPN personality, college football insider. We talked to college football playoffs, and we talked a little bit about how the bowl games are sort of like affected by opt-outs and whether there's ever going to be a bowl game basically canceled because of opt-outs. Tony, what did you think of that top four and whether they got that right or not?
Look, if you ask me, is Alabama one of the top four teams in college football? I'm always going to tell you yes. I was surprised that TCU wasn't dropped, not out, because I thought that Max Duggan, I think I would vote for him for the Heisman for what he did in that last series in regulation, but I was surprised they didn't go to four. And it seemed clear to me, I don't know how you feel about this, the manipulation, the decision that people don't want to see Ohio State, Michigan again this quickly after the last one. So let's manipulate the top four and get what we want. Is that your feeling as well?
That is my feeling. We actually asked Brett that on the podcast, and he said that was not true. But it doesn't – I mean, I think the team that really got screwed here was Georgia, for them to have to play Ohio State, which I think a lot of people believe is still the second-best team in the country in the first round, just doesn't make any sense. And if Ohio State and TCU played right now on a neutral field, Ohio State would be about a touchdown favorite.
Agreed.
Georgia would be about an 18 or 19-point favorite over TCU. So it just doesn't – that's probably the thing they got wrong. TCU does not deserve to be in the playoffs. I mean, they deserve to be in the playoffs, but they're definitely not one of the top four teams in the country.
I agree. I utterly agree with that. But did you watch that game? Were you not – if you did, you had to be captivated with Duggan on the last drive. You had to be.
I mean, on the last drive, I just said, why aren't they spying and why aren't they doing something? He had, 75 or something like that rushing yards?
Yeah.
And that was all that they did on that drive. You know, yes, he was – it was impressive. And, again, like, I think they deserve to be in the top four, but I just don't think they're one of the top four teams. And – this is the problem. It's like similar to Cincinnati last year. They deserve to be there.
But they're not good.
It makes these semifinals not particularly interesting.
Yes. I agree. Totally agree with that. That's why I think they should go to 6 with 2 byes. I don't think they should go to 12, and I don't even think they should go to 8. But 6 would be fun. All right. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Thanks, Tony.
Jeff Ma, boys and girls. Again, you can listen to his podcast with Rufus, Bet the Process. We will come back with email and jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you folks.
That's Denise Graves. You think you can sing? She can sing. Denise Graves, Kyle Kettleson, and Sean Panikkar, and Kelly O'Hara, and Renee Fleming are in the hours at the Metropolitan Opera. If you can get there by tomorrow, at 1 Eastern time tomorrow, you can go to a movie theater wherever you are and you can watch that. You can watch people sing opera in front of you with voices like you don't have. You want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you and you'll be thrilled.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say I don't want to lose you, this good thing that I got, because if I do, I will surely, surely lose a lot, because your love is better than any love I know. It's like thunder, lightning. The way you love is frightening. I'd better knock, 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 knock on wood. That's Eddie Floyd. That's his one big hit, yeah. And that's a bigger hit than most people have ever had.
It's a great one, yes.
Knock on wood. Thanks to our guests today, Jason Lockenfora, James Carville shows up, Jeff Ma, thanks to our sponsors, Vincero, ZipRecruiter, Simply Safe. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. Get the show through Apple Podcasts. Please leave us a review. From Stephen Good in Fayetteville, Arkansas. During the U.S. men's national team loss to the Netherlands on Saturday, there was a noticeable lack of poetry on the pitch. Maybe Louise Gluck needs to do the pregame pep talk in 2026. From Todd Hart, formerly of Kohler, Wisconsin, now of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Mm. You complain of not being able to remember anything, but somehow you remember that Mr. Kohler's wife's name is indeed Natalie. I'm sure the fact that you received a free toilet helped. I spoke to some of the bigwigs at Kohler, and they love it when you mention Kohler having the best toilets in America. If you're ready for a replacement after 32 years, let me know. I bet we can make it happen. P.S. Now my wife is singing Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama. It might be my turn to file for divorce. Toilet seats are welcome here. From Kenny Ray in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. You got a toilet seat from the White House steak dinner you attended? Too bad you weren't sitting across from the CEO at General Motors. Yeah, well, but I take what I can get.
Yeah.
From Larry Shoemaker, it's not quite a David Aldridge moment, but hearing about your Aunt Bernice triggered a mid-60s memory. I, too, had an Aunt Bernice, and while she never put me in a dunce cap, let's just say she was hard to like. Also, like you, we had an Uncle Benny. He was our pediatrician. And since it was the 60s, no one thought it strange that he would chain smoke Muriel cigars in his office. I don't suppose you also had an Uncle Isidore or an Aunt Rose. No, but I know somebody who had an Uncle Isidore, actually. Patrick Sitter in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Jacqueline Smith, you thought you had a chance? Really? Two words, dunce cap. this is, we don't even have, I don't know who this is from. Jeff Rankinlow. Jeff writes, further to last week's discussion of Bonanza and Lorne Greene, I thought you might like to know a few more things about him. During World War II, he was the CBC radio's principal announcer on the national news, and the network promoted him as the voice of Canada. To the public, however, he was also the voice of doom because of his deep, resonant voice and the fact that so much of the news early in the war was not good. Green is often credited with committing the greatest blooper in Canadian radio history. Well, it's probably just an urban legend. Supposedly, instead of saying this is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, he solemnly intoned this is the Canadian Broadcorping Castration. I hope it's true. Wow. He also topped the Billboard charts in 1964 with the novelty song Ringo. Yeah, it was terrible. Purnell Roberts later played the title character in the TV series Trapper John M.D. about the post-Army career of MASH, the MASH doctor, played by Wayne Rogers on TV and in the film by Elliot Gould. The film MASH is one of the greatest comedies of all time.
It's just tremendous.
I have not seen it.
It is great. One of the greatest movies, comedy movies of all time.
Yeah.
Okay. Go get it. MASH. It's so good. From Chase Herman. My name is Chase Herman. I live in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. That's pronounced Coeur d'Alene. I'm sorry. Coeur d'Alene. I thought it was Coeur d'Alene. Coeur d'Alene. And I've listened to your show for a while now. I grew up watching you on PTI. Yes, grew up. I'm only 27. I now listen to your podcast every week while I work. I work in construction, so I usually listen to you the day it comes out. The Friday episode, you were reading emails about the Bonanza theme song. And as one does, I immediately started singing the song. And by singing, I meant... But by the second verse, I found myself singing Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama. During the third verse of this, my superintendent walked into where I was working, and he goes, "Are you in here talking to yourself?" To which I replied, "No, even worse, I'm singing Victor Wembanyama to the Bonanza theme song." He looked at me, shook his head, and walked away and didn't speak another word to me until the end of the day, and then said, "Who is even Victor Wembanyama? You know what? Never mind, because I don't want to know." He laughed and said, I'll send you a couple episodes of this podcast so you'll understand there's a lot going on here. And he replied, "I'd rather you not." Thanks for all the laughs you provided me and so many with. Happy holidays to you and the gang.
From Tough Tom, but fair.
Tom Mule or Muley in Bowie, Maryland. I just want to remind you that starting in the middle of this week that the sunsets will be getting later each day. I don't want you to be surprised like you have been in the past. Every 6 months around either the winter or the summer solstice, you mention on the show how you don't understand how the sunrises or sunsets could be getting earlier or later before the 21st. Usually a little then writes in to explain, so I figured I'd be proactive. While the shortest day of the year is December 21st, the earliest sunset in the Northern Hemisphere around the Washington, D.C. latitude happens about 2 weeks before. Around December 7th, which was 2 days ago, the sunset will be 4:45 p.m. By December 10th, which is tomorrow,
tomorrow,
the sunset will be 4:46 and continue to increase. Sunrises are just the opposite. The latest sunrise will be about 2 weeks after December 21st, around January 5th. Starting this, I hope you are able to enjoy the extra sunlight in the afternoon each day. I was thinking about this morning.
How about that moon?
The moon was gorgeous. Was 2 days after full. Yeah. And the moon is gorgeous. I was thinking about this morning, that there's only another couple of weeks until the sunrise begins to change. And I'm wrong, because 4 weeks from now, the sunrise is worst.
Yeah.
Okay. From Jim O'Donnell in Depoe, D-E-P-O-E Bay, Oregon. From the Depoe Bay Liquor Store. You and Chuck Todd mentioned the ads in the back of sports magazines back in the day. It made me smile. My father-in-law was a sports tout back in the early 70s. He and his partner would place ads in the football or basketball magazines that people would purchase before the season. They would have an ad with an 800 number, which you referenced, Chris, to dial. And if you called him, he would tell you why the Cowboys were going to beat the Giants for a fee, of course. However, there was also another ad in the same magazine that if you called the 800 number, my father-in-law's partner would tell you for a fee why the Giants were going to beat the Cowboys. This went on for a few years. I even answered a few calls when I was trying to impress him because I was dating his daughter in the late 70s. I guess I did okay, but I always made sure not to answer that other line after I read the script. There were many that double dipped, so we had to be careful which line we were on. From Rick Wallace in Fairhope, Alabama. This is my second or third attempt to help you with the pronunciation of Biloxi. Despite the spelling, there is no O sound in Biloxi. It's not ox. Try Biloxi. Biloxi if you want to get better. Yellow Lab Mix, 60 pounds of muscle. From Mike Maluza in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Salt instead of sugar? My grandmother-in-law added peppercorns instead of chocolate chips. Oh. It took hours to get that taste out of my mouth. Peppercorns. From Josh Cromwell. Potlucks can be wonderful, but they should be accompanied with a word of caution. Because, Michael, you went to a potluck.
Yes, I did.
Every potluck consists of a variety of wonderful dishes plus one or two items that will produce violent food poisoning.
Oh, yeah.
Now, which dish will cause you to void your innards within a few hours of its consumption? Ah, that's where the luck comes in.
Lock the doors.
And we're going to do a Joe Ippolito.
Okay.
I think I have Greg's permission to do a Joe Ippolito.
All right.
Okay, so the Garcia Hallmark movie stuff was fun, but I didn't know there would be consequences. That is, until this past week when karma came a knocking. After dinner one evening, the person to whom I was, at least at the time, related by marriage, suggested we watch a movie. Innocent enough. But friends, that movie was a jolly holiday romp called Catering Christmas, produced for something called the Great American Family Channel. It is not for great Americans, Tony, unless you're grading by girth. Turns out you and Greg might have been wrong. I may not have a future in writing after all, as I cannot possibly summon the words to adequately describe how gorge-risingly awful this movie is. As best as I can tell, the creators of Catering Christmas are not only entirely unfamiliar with the catering industry, they may have well never encountered food. At one point, a character is moved to earnestly remark, "You really know your flavoring agents," by which I think they mean lemon. It is perhaps the only creative work I've encountered that takes longer to view than it did to write. I can only assume that the script for this bilge was delivered handwritten, given how difficult it must be to type with such ham fists. You have children who love to cook. Tony, implore them not to watch this film. They deserve to enjoy their holiday season. I, however, will be over here figuring out a way for our Christmas lights to accidentally short out the television while I continue another time-honored holiday tradition, drinking four fingers of gin, my personal favorite flavoring agent, Joe Ippolito in Brooklyn. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Hey, Dad.
Dad, honey.
Tony.
Dad.
Dad,
honey.
Tony.
Dad, honey.
Tony.
Dad, honey.
Tony.
Dad, honey.
Tony.
Dad, honey. Listen up!
I learned the hard way, honey, when there's crabs in a bucket. Pick yourself up, the problems are yours, and don't let anyone do something for you when freedom's waiting outside your door. I learned the hard way how some days are tougher than others. Pick up my pills and pick up my kids and hope that one don't react to the other. And hold on when you cross that bridge. It's a great escape. Won't you please just rescue me? Yourself.
See a dolphin, it's right below us, up against the rocks. I thought it out that you could see through the darkness, something that was clearly impossible to see.